Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, happy, happy new year to you, Dr. Price. How are you doing today?
I am excited. Again, you know, I'm thrilled about the Thursday thing since we still have a ongoing running experience that God turns us on Thursday. He turns the sun on for us. So I'm excited.
Yes.
I'm thrilled, and I know you're thrilled. Hey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I know. Can you believe it? It is 2014. We are
no.
In, I know.
No, I can't, because when I came to Tulsa, it was 1999.
Oh, gosh, it is a scary thing to see how fast time has gone, you know. But, you know, even though it's moving forward, I have to tell you, this is a good time. We're coming up on a good season in the Lord. And so to everyone who's on our call today, I want to say to you, happy 2014, and congratulations for making it. Sometimes we need to say congratulations, you know, because some of us weren't sure we were going to make it this year. And to know the goodness of God, we are doing well. God is doing great things, and we have a lot to look forward to. You know, 14 is the number of the new creation, 7 churches, 7 spirits before the throne of God. You should look that up in my prophet's dictionary. There's no better time than the top of the year to find out what God is saying prophetically. As a matter of fact, a lot of you have had planned to bring in various prophetic people to speak to your congregations or your groups this year so that you can get a jump on what God is doing. So just remember that we're going to start with the fact that 14 is the number of the new creation. That is the eternal priesthood of Jesus Christ, the Melchizedek priesthood, the saved, the redeemed, the born-again saints. We can go on and on and on. But isn't it good to know that that's what God is doing? So that means it's the year that God is going to get things done. We went through 10 being the, you know, 2010, let's get the law together, let's get the prophecies out, you know, that kind of thing. 2011, we're dealing with transition, the falling off of the unbeliever so that we can, God begin to set things up with the believer. We've gone into 2012 where we began to kick in apostolic government and world authorities, and then 13, we are, you know, we're transitioning again, and now we're adding in that deep revelation so that by 2014, we're good to go. Ashley, isn't that a wonderful way of looking at it?
It is, and it always reminds us that God always has a plan, always has something in mind, and always is preserving his cycles. And so I'm excited. I'm really excited. We're coming out 2014 strong as a company and a ministry, and we've seen God do some miraculous things, yet we know we have not yet begun to see God do God. So I'm very excited about this thing 2014 and what that means prophetically and what that will mean to us literally.
Well, I agree, because, and a lot of people need to know that God is doing some amazing things for us this year, and they should expect the unexpected. But I want to talk a little bit about what it means to come up on this season in God. I've been talking and saying for like a long time that God is really imposing the kingship of Jesus Christ on his people, on his world, because you can't even just say his people, it's on his world. He is literally imposing the kingship of his son. We, you know, we've dealt with Jesus as the wonderful Savior. He's such a sweet guy, isn't he great? You know, he allowed them to beat him all night long. He allowed them to, you know, put him in a grave. He prophesied it. He spoke it out in the Psalms. He spoke it out throughout the entire Old Testament about, you know, about him coming, you know, to the planet to save and seek and save the lost and all of that. And so it's wonderful to know Jesus like that. He's a great Savior. We love the sacrificial lamb because, you know, well, he slaughtered, you know, and he bled for our sins. Marvelous, marvelous stuff. We certainly appreciate him as the resurrected one and, you know, the one who rose from the dead for us and our Savior and, you know, all of that. But there is a side of Jesus that the early church knew that this present church has little clue about. And that is that, you know, as a matter of fact, most of the church today, we don't even want to hear it, especially in our free will, it's our way, it's our time, American religion. But there's a side of Jesus that we don't know about, and that is the side of the king, the sovereign side of Jesus. And most of his people, most of the saints, are terrified of his sovereignty because he might sovereignly decide to do something they disagree with, they dislike, they want to change. And so we don't want to know about that. As a matter of fact, being in our culture is often a detriment to our accepting and appreciating the sovereignty of Jesus Christ. But Jesus inherited more than a church. He inherited more than a just a family, you know, of future believers. Jesus inherited the whole world. I mean, every piece of the world, every part of it. He inherited all of that. And we don't really understand that as much as we should and as much as we will in the days to come. But Jesus is a king. He was a king before he became anything else. He was a king. He was a savior. Yes, but he was a king. His first call, first office, was not Savior. His first office was not Redeemer like we know him. His first office was King, and he rules as a king. And so for the sake of the church and to bring in the Gentiles, his beloved world, because he promised it, he humbled himself, and he set aside kingship, and he put it aside so that he could go into his messiahship duties and his messianic call and all of that. But now we're coming full circle, and we're dealing with Jesus Christ, the King, and we're dealing with, now see, because that's not something he has to learn. We, you know, most of us in the church think that Jesus has to figure it out. You know, he has to learn how to be a king. Well, the reason he doesn't come back because he has to learn how to rule. No, he was ruling before he got here. He stopped ruling to come here. He put his sovereignty, he put his kingship on hiatus for 33 and a half years to come here to teach us how to live in his world, actually to come here to handpick his future citizens. And so that's where we are today with the king. He wants us to get in our minds and to appreciate that I'm a king. Now, we've grown up. So, I mean, he's been a great shepherd, bishop of our souls. We didn't even understand the bishop piece. We don't understand the Savior and all of that like he had it in mind. Now he's going to let us meet, those of us who are mature enough, to meet him as a king because it's time for him to set some things in our order. And so our Savior is so magnificent that he has all of these rules because he feels all in all, does all in all, and he steps in and out of these roles as he sees fit, depending on what his earth and his people are contending with at the time. Well, we're contending now with the powers that be and the threat to his church. So we're going to meet that side of Jesus most of the church has not ever encountered. You're going to hear him in your prayers. Some of you can probably tell me now, I mean, you can probably say to me, oh, yeah, I know God is talking differently to me now. Oh, no, the Lord is not sounding like he used to sound. Well, you know, he's not that you know, that lowly Savior, et cetera. Now, Paul tried to warn us of that because he said, well, he was crucified in weakness, but he's coming back in glory, and that we will know him. No one will ever know Jesus as weak as he was on the cross again in any lifetime, in any history. We will always know his mercy. We will always know his tenderness. We'll always know his love and care. But let's understand he's a king. Now, when you deal with Jesus as a king, that changes a lot of our arguments and our contentions about him. Because the first thing a king is going to do is never lose. What did he say? Of all that thou hast given me, I should lose nothing. So he's never going to lose. Jesus is never going to lose. Second thing we need to know, when we're dealing with him like that, he's not going to put his kingdom at risk for us. And a lot of our arguments and a lot of that stuff that we teach from the church, the strictly ecclesial side of him, trust me, he's not going to put his kingdom at risk. God loves you, and he's still not going to put his kingdom at risk. He gave his son to die for you, and he's still not going to put his kingdom at risk. When Jesus got on the cross, humanity was at risk, but his kingdom was never at risk. He would never put his kingdom at risk because he's got more in his kingdom than us, than the sons and daughters of Adam and his offspring. So you need to get clear on how it's going to be, because going forward in 2014, Jesus Christ is going to manifest very differently. We're going to meet him differently. Our worship is going to be different. Our praise is going to be different. This kind of, you know, Jesus is love, and let the all saints lay down and let the world walk on them, not going to happen in this time. Because we forget that Jesus took the world. Over 2,000 years, he took the world and became the dominant supreme deity of the world. Now, I don't care about what anybody else says. The fact of the matter is the numbers and history speaks for itself. This man did it in 2,000 years, and the first 1,000 years, we didn't even have light. He was doing it with candles and torches, and we took the world. So we're going to meet that kind of Jesus. We're not going to meet the one that, okay, but I don't want him to be afraid of me. No, we've been in his house long enough. Jesus has got enough history. He's got enough teachings. He's got enough teachers, preachers, and all of that to cover his shepherding, to cover his salvation, to cover his evangelicalism. He's got that. But now we're going to deal the king. When Jesus came to the planet, even incarnating, he came as the king. Now, at that time, he came as king of the Jews. When he came back from heaven, after pouring his blood out, he came back to earth as king of the world. Now, he was always king in his world, but in this world, meaning he had a right to lay claim to every human being that ever was and ever will be. God gave him every human being. Now, whether every human being wants to stay with him or not, that's a whole other discussion for another Thursday. But as it stands today, according to John 17, he said, but you've given him all flesh. You've given him authority over all flesh, that he may give eternal life to whom he wills. We act like we're choosing Jesus. You know, the folks rejecting Jesus, they act like they make him some sort of great big thing. No, no, no. Jesus is choosing us. You've not chosen me. I've chosen you. And if he chose us, then he gets to call the shots, and he gets to make the decisions about our lives. And so we've had a lot of happy time gospel, and the church has been running around virtually headless, like some sort of headless horseman riding through the night, you know, just, you know, bumping into whatever you want and picking up whatever you want and destroying what you will. But now the head is coming back, and he's going to sit on his own horse. And God is going to show us his son. Many people, many Christians have never read 1 Corinthians 10. But if you want to find out how accurate this is to you who are saved, or you who are called to be saved, you need to go to 1 Corinthians 10. Because 1 Corinthians 10, among other passages, but that one says it most blatantly, lets us know that before Jesus became Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, the son of Joseph and Mary, the carpenter's son, he was Yahweh. And he dealt business on a different level. Now, we've never paid attention to that, but it's in the Bible, our Bible that we say we want to use to get to heaven. So I want to point out to you that Jesus is a king. He has always been King of Kings. He's always been Lord of Lords. Do you realize what it took for him to drop all of that and bring himself that low? Now, I mean, it would be great. You can't even get the head of your company to want to be that humble. And this man is that low. He brought himself beneath everything that he'd made. He brought himself between everything that he had already judged, he'd already sentenced, he'd already whatever. He did all of that, and he brought himself beneath all of that to bring us up to him. And so when you start hearing the gospel, because you're going to hear the gospel preached the way God wrote it. Now, we've got a piece of the gospel here and I told someone recently we got somewhere around 12 or so, 12 to 15 strands to the gospel. We only hear three and really only one all of the time. Never explored the full totality of the gospel. But there is a huge spectrum of the gospel that comes up Jesus is King. And so in these years to come, the tide is turning, and we're not going to have that same indulgence. We've been talking about how hard the world is going to get and how difficult the world is going to get, but we act like Jesus is just going to stay the same. No, no, no. Jesus is not losing his planet. He's not losing his church. I don't care what you say. I don't care who prophesied whatever. I don't care about how many movies they make. Jesus Christ, the second member of the Godhead, the second person of the Godhead, is not losing his Father's inheritance. And because we are dealing with him as a name in a book instead of a person on a throne, we think he feels as futile and frustrated about things going on as we do. He is not. He will not do it. So you can go. I don't care how much folks tell you it's all right to do this and it's all right to do that. When you leave your body, you are not going to stand. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it too, because that's the ill we need to hear it. You're not standing before the Ten Commandments on a piece of stone. You're going to stand before the author who wrote it. And you're not going to have to worry about what somebody told you. You're going to look in his face, and he's going to, just looking in his face, is going to tell you what he said. And you won't have a chance to alter your decision, because the just shall live by faith. Now, why do we have to do it by faith? Because in God's world, faith is like air. Faith is like the wind. Faith is like fire. It is natural. It is natural. Here, unbelief is the natural climate. In God's world, belief is the natural climate. So what God is forcing upon you here is really trying to acclimate you and reconstruct you so you survive there. Because there, faith destroys unbelief. It destroys it here. So how much more when you're in their world where there's no impedance, you know? And so everything, all of the waves, their elements, their ecology, all of that is faith. And it's faith on what isn't. It's faith that causes what is not to be, compels what is not to be. Here we cause it to be if we push long enough. There, faith and compulsion and manifestation are all one swoop, one move, one action. And so God is not trying to make our lives miserable by saying we need to do it by faith. He's trying to get us ready. We're getting training to live in a world where unbelief doesn't exist, where questions about authority don't exist, where questions about the legitimacy, is there a God? Nobody is in heaven talking about, is there a God? Those are earth questions, because those are questions of unbelief. In heaven is, where is God and what does he want in God's world? And so God is working day and night to get us awakened to how they do things in the eternal world. You want to live forever? Well, and you want to thrive and live, or do you just want to float around as a wisp and live? Whichever way is your call. But understand, in God's world, there are no questions about the things we do. All of these questions are because they are the tools of the empire of unbelief that this world system operates on. Well, and we need that. That works because God blacked our minds out. He darkened our understanding. That's why Paul has to pray that your understanding would be enlightened, that you would understand. If you read Isaiah said God blocked out the human mind, which is why we can't think like he thinks. Why? Because he doesn't want to force his way on us. It wasn't just punishment. He didn't do it for punishment, actually. He did it because I want you all to choose me, and then I want you to choose to be conformed to me. Then I want you to choose to live with me. I want that because if I don't, my world will destroy you anyway. Because God's world has no questions about unbelief. They have no questions. There are no doubts. There. Nobody's saying, I wonder if the Most High can pull this off. They've been, first of all, they're not 3 score and 10 and out. They are forever. So they already know what he can pull off. They live with all that he can pull off. We have to learn it, but they live with it. We have to learn it in order to appreciate it or reject it. But recognize this, and you who are Christians and you're, you know, you're walking around talking about, well, God just wants everybody in heaven. God doesn't want everybody in heaven any more than everybody wants to be in heaven. We have an assumption that God wants everybody in heaven no matter what they will. That is not true, and we need to stop that little piece of gospel. That's not true. That's not part of the gospel. The gospel never said that. Read it yourself. Never said it. He said, it would be nice if everybody got here, but understand, everybody doesn't want to be here, and we don't want everybody here because not everybody's going to agree with us. In God's world, you won't call the shot. And so we are going to meet those kinds of elements, that resistance side of Christ, that side that says this is how we're doing it, we're going this way. Why? He's protecting his investment. He's protecting his inheritance. And that is why we're going to live, because Jesus is looking out for his own interests, because his interests is our benefit. So whatever God is, what God loses, we lose. What God gains, we gain. What God keeps, we inherit, we enter in. If he lost the battle, we don't have a hope because our hope is in him. And so when we go into this season, you're going to find God challenging you to grow up, challenging you to think differently, challenging you to not settle for the status quo, even compelling you to dig in your soul and become a better you, become a more potent you. God wants potent believers. In God's world, impotence is not existent. Impotence is for earth. It's not for God's world. In God's world, they got two strengths, omnipotent and potent. That's it. Nobody there is talking about, yeah, I'm trying to get over my backache. I can't. Everybody operates at peak performance in his world. They don't have the flesh. They don't have a carcass that's dying and breaking down every day. None of that. But understand this, even though your body doesn't travel, God has got to strengthen your soul to survive and to carry the superior body he has for you. He's got to upgrade you infinitely for you to survive, for you to even be able to get around. It's kind of like David trying to wear Saul's armor. He was a good fighter. He was courageous, etc. But that armor was too great for him, too heavy, too big. His small self couldn't carry it. And that's an analogy for us to realize your soul has to be powerful. And it has to be powerful in God. When you read the scripture, I read over and over again, be strong in the Lord. Be powerful in him. Be encouraged. Be courageous. Be bold in God. Why does the man say that? Why is he saying that? You should ask yourself and then seek to find the answers. Why is it that when God sends an angel, he doesn't say, whew, I wasn't sure I was going to get through, man. I mean, whew, give me a break. I got a message for you. I need to sit down. You got any water? He doesn't do that. They don't come like that. Because in his world, whatever their weakness is so far beyond our strength, we couldn't measure it. Doesn't measure in our world. And that's what God wants you to understand. That side of Jesus, and Jesus is going to be fishing the planet, sifting the planet, looking for those whose hearts are perfect to him so he can share that this new range, this new dimension of strength for the team he needs to secure his planet. Because remember, God right now is all about heaven because they're looking out for their interest. Telling you, you're going to be surprised at the things that the Lord does. You're going to be shocked at the things that he has you do and the things he compels you to achieve in him. And so he's been giving you different mentors. You know, a lot of you all have stayed with the same mentor who has never taken you one iota past where you were 15, 20 years. You read the same little three-page book, we got 50-point font. You're going to sit there and look, the thing looks like a five-year-old's coloring book. The font is so big. Triple spacing, reams and reams of scripture talking about you strong in the Lord. No, that's not how it is. That was good enough for them. We bless God for them. But you need to get into the now mind of Christ. And the now mind of Christ is that I'm seeking the strong. I'm pulling strength out of my strong ones. I'm telling you, this is a different era. And that has nothing to do with what's going on. Nobody's canceling that out at all. I'm speaking to the group who is called for the next thing God is doing. There are maintainers. and then there are progressors. And so I'm speaking to you who God is, he's breathing on you. You're restless. You can't sleep at night. God wakes you up almost every hour on the hour. He's talking. You're doing everything you used to do, and you're bored silly. You're frustrated. You're getting revelations. Can't find a person to talk to you about it. Can't get anybody to answer your questions. You ask a question, and they treat you like you're some sort of a heretic. I'll tell you, God doesn't do that any longer. And all of those kinds of things. And maybe some of it is true. Maybe it isn't. But I'm telling you, the Jesus that we have all grown up on and have really petted on the head like a little puppy dog and a little child trying to be taken seriously, that Jesus is not who we're going to meet. He is not, that's not who's going to show up in these days to come. And he's going to challenge your theology. He's going to challenge your doctrinal beliefs. He's going to challenge your dogma. He's going to challenge your canon because we rewrote his. He's going to challenge how you worship, how you sing. He's going to challenge your decision making. He's going to challenge so much about your life, you're going to feel like you were not saved. And yet you were. But now the reason you were saved, pushing you, imposing itself upon you. That is what we're going to deal with as we go into this next three decades, because it won't even be just one. It'll be no less than three decades. You're going to deal with a different man. The world is going to meet a different Jesus. Those people who are pulling the strings in the world, they're going to meet a different Jesus. They're going to meet the owner of the planet. They're going to meet the heir and the creator. They're going to meet the monarch, the sovereign of creation, and he is not indulging them. I promise you he's not indulging them. A lot of great folk are going to go home over the next 3 years, and we hope they left us a good estate. He's changing the times. He's changing control. Power is changing hands. The baton is moving on, and we need to be ready for what he's doing. Because, again, I'm telling you, people are going to tell you a whole lot of things, and they're going to tell you that, all right, well, you know, but everybody know Paula Price thinks like that. But you know what? Out of all these folks who've been around, my words are still coming to pass. This man is going to show himself sovereign in a way we've not known. And if you are afraid of the truth of Jesus, you're going to find yourself backing yourself up into a corner that you won't be able to get out of. Now, again, not for every saint. I'm okay with that. I'm okay that it's not for every saint, because guess what? Salvation is not for every soul. Isn't that nice to know? It takes us off the hook. Salvation is not for every soul. Not every soul want to belong to Jesus Christ. We need to stop telling people that. Now, there are billions upon billions of them, but not every one. Remember, we had 12 apostles, but one didn't want it. No matter how much Jesus preached, he had them laid in the aisle. He did miracles. Judas handed out the food with the rest of them. He got the same anointing when Jesus laid hands on them and sent them out to the world. He got everything. He was not robbed, cheated of anything. And in the end, he didn't want the man. So don't act like that's not true. In the end, there's always going to be that one that says, I'm sorry, it's not for me. And that's okay. That's not up for you to make those decisions. It's not up for me to make those decisions. Because if God is not making it for them, neither should we. But it is up to us to be realistic about how this man is moving forward into the future to regain his control and his dominion over his body, and to make sure that of all that his Father gave him, he loses nothing. He didn't just say all of the souls that he gave me. He didn't just say all of the Jews, all of the Gentiles, all of the humans. He didn't say that. He said all, period, A-R-R, whatever all fits. That means all the world, all the kingdoms, all the people, all the nations, all the ecology, all of the possessions, all that's manufactured, all that is, all that will be. Of all that has been given to me, I should lose nothing. And see, we are okay with losing, but Jesus is not. And that's what we're going to find out. We're going to find out he's not okay with losing. He's not okay with what we're tossing aside. He's not okay with what we're trivializing. He's not okay with any of that. And we're going to find that this year. And we're going to find it's going to start this year, but it's going into the next three, at least the next three and a half decades. It's not going to stop. And we're going to feel, I'm talking about feeling the pinch, you're going to feel the pinch because he's going to muscle his way in on a lot of things. And a lot of things we as saints are going to say, that's not God, we're going to be wrong. And a lot of things that we're going to say, oh, yeah, that's the Lord, we're going to be wrong. But see, he's not going to let us die in our wrong. He's going to let us know and humiliate us along the way. There are a lot of Christians about to be humiliated, I mean embarrassed from the throne. He is releasing major embarrassment on a lot of saints. He's getting ready to humiliate them because they have misrepresented who he is. And he has to. You know, he has to. God gave me a scripture for the seasons to come, and I do believe. I gave it to my church, but I feel like in my heart I need to share it with the body. And so I'm going to read it to you because it's important. We often, many of us have read Malachi. You know, many of us have. And so I want to say that we have hit that era. The beautiful thing about Malachi is that it's the book of the priests. You know, they wrote it to the priests. You know, the priests who were messing up, the priests who forgot their inheritance, the priests who forgot what they were called to do. So Malachi is one of those extensive treatments, you know, to the priests and the leaders. It's a great little book. But we only know it for the tithes, and we read it, you know, half of you all probably have never read the entire book of Malachi. Do yourself a favor. Read it in 2014. And so Malachi actually means my messenger. I mean, that's what the name means. But here's what God says in Malachi chapter 3. And this is after we've talked about, you know, pay your tithes. Yeah, we stop at the tithes. But this is where I'm going to start. I'm going to start at Malachi chapter 3, verse 13. And it says here, this is the literal translation. It says, "Your words have been strong against me, says Jehovah. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vanity to serve God. And what profit is it that we kept his charge and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? And now we are calling the arrogant blessed. Not only are the doers of wickedness built up, they also test God and escape." Now here's the passage that he gave me to touch my heart. Starting at Malachi 3:16. "Then those fearing Jehovah spoke together, each one to his neighbor, and Jehovah gave attention and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared Jehovah and for those esteeming his name. And they shall be mine, says Jehovah of hosts, for the day that I will make up my treasure, and I will pity them as a man has pity on his son who serves him. Then you shall see," listen to this, 3:18, everybody, this is the word for the hour, 3:18, "then you shall again see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between him who serves God and him who does not serve him." That's the word. That's where God is right now. Where is God in 2014? That's where he is. Malachi 3:13-18. What is the problem? Three problems he's dealing with today. It's almost as if Malachi is living today, writing on Facebook. And it says, you know, it's useless to serve God. What's the point? What's the profit? We're not doing well. The wicked are doing well, and we're going broke, okay? And so this is a age-old problem. And then he said, we're not going to serve God any longer. We're going to call good evil and evil good, because if you read other translations of that, that is what they're saying. We're going to call good evil and evil good because the evil guys seem to be doing well. The evil folk, they seem to be making all the money. We're making none. But God, he's listening because he knows what he's going after. And he expects us to believe to the saving of the soul. And so he said, you know, you guys have really offended me. Because I've said that to different people. I said, but, you know, sometimes we forget. We hurt his feelings. We offend them. And so he said, you offended me. You're charging me with evil. You're saying that I'm blessed in wickedness and cursing righteousness. Is that really what you want to say about me? Is that really how you want to say that? You're telling me that I'm going to reward you evil for good, for all of the good you've done to me. Do you not have any sense of my character, have any sense of my integrity? And so then he said, then you turn around and you go and you invert my righteousness and you begin to chase the wicked and call them righteous because they're blessed. And you start saying that the wicked are the ones in charge and they get away scot-free. So God is like, so you really don't think much of me at all. As a God, as a person, you don't think much of my integrity. And so but God didn't stop with just listening to what the people said against him. He also listened to those who held up their faith in him. And he said, then those fearing Jehovah spoke together, each man to his neighbor. So God is listening in on everybody's conversation. I mean, first of all, that's just, I don't even want to just go there, okay? He's listening in on everybody's conversation. And he said, and it says he gave attention and he heard. And when he did, he told somebody, bring me a new book. I got to write a new book. And he said, I'm going to write a book of remembrance. And here's the book. This is what I'm going to put in the book. I'm going to put in the book everybody who feared me when people were blaspheming me, when they were insulting me, when they were calling me evil, when they were saying I was unjust. There's this nucleus of folk who said, I'm not buying the lie, and I don't care what you said. Their judgment may be far off. Their penalties may come down the line, but trust me, God is a righteous God, and when he gets around to it, they are going to pay for what they're doing to him. Okay? So he said, Mike, I want you to list the name. And he began to listen to all of those homes and all of those people who had those, I don't care what you say, God is right. I don't care what you say, sin is sin. I don't care what you say. He wrote a list of all those people, and he called it a book of remembrance so that it would be before him so that after he dealt with his problem, he'd remember what he said he wanted to do for the faithful. So he already wrote out what he's going to do for the wicked, but now I want to remember that out of this particular era of my life, out of this particular experience, I had a group who believed me no matter what, who stayed faithful to me no matter what, who knew that who continued to call me a righteous God and a righteous judge of the earth. Those people, bring that book back. You remember the king with Mordecai? He said, what's been done for this guy who did this great thing for me? Here, God is manifesting the same thing himself from the throne of heaven. What's been done for those people who took care of me, those people who didn't sell out on me? Did anybody do anything good for those people who believed me no matter what? Hey, bring my book. And he had them bring him the book. And when they brought him the book, he said, my treasures. I knew I had them. And he began to remember them. They may not have ever known, just like you don't know, that God was listening. But God didn't forget, because God is a faithful God and he's a loyalist. And so anybody who stays loyal to him, he never forgets, not to your children's children, children's children. He said that I'm going to remember them to the fourth and fifth generation. I'm telling you. And so those of you, those of us who say, I don't care what you say, sin is sin. I don't care what you say, scandal is a sinning show. It's a show for sinners. I don't care who you say. I don't care who you preach for. I don't care how big you are. Flipping your behind for anybody on television is still sin. It ain't ever stopped being sin, and it's going to be sin till we go home. So you made the book of remembrance. I don't care what you say, cheating, lying, all of that infidelity, all the fornication and all of that, drugs and stuff, that's a sin. I don't care. I don't care how much they tell me. I don't care how much money they pay them. What did he write here? He said, I don't care how much money they paid them to sell their souls. I don't care how much money they paid to sell their souls. I don't care whether they had a fire sale on their souls. I'm telling you, sin is sin. And see, those people, those are the ones that make the book of remembrance, because times change. And there are times that God will go and save somebody in the midst of all kinds of craziness, will save somebody just because their parents made the book. He'll go and everybody folks will be getting laid off, not you. Somebody come and say, shh, I'm going to put you over here, hide you. Why? Because you made the book. See, the book of life is one book, but the book of a good life, that's a whole other book for God. And a lot of people may slide in by, you know, as just by fire. They may get in by the skin of their teeth, but the book of a good life, mm-mm. And so he said, and they shall be mine. I love how he wrote that. They shall be mine. Because what is he saying? All those other people that you all blessing and talking about, they doing all right with God? God said, they're not even mine. You know, they're not mine. Just because they told you they're not mine, you believe them. You never even asked me if that was mine. You just went on and said, well, they said they're Christian. God, but did Jesus say they were Christian? And he said, and they shall be mine, says Jehovah of hosts, for the day that I make up my treasure. And I will pity them as the man pities his own son, which means when life is going hard for everybody else, he's going to have pity on you because you remembered him. And he said, and you will again know the difference. This is where we are today. Three people do not know the difference between the righteous and the wicked, and between him who serves God and him who does not serve him. And that is the era we're coming in. So the king's like, you don't know, so let me come in and show y'all again. I'm going to step up, and I'm going to show you who's who. I'm going to show you. I don't care if all of you are shacking with your little girlfriends and your little boyfriends. You all think that that's all right because a lot of people are doing it. You need to understand that there is something wrong with a Christian who's taking their cues from the world. There is something very wrong with a saint who's taking their cues from a sinner. There's something wrong with that. I don't care what you tell me. Something's wrong with that. That's like somebody saying, "I'm gonna learn my. You got a college degree. You're gonna learn your ABCs from a 5-year-old." Who does that? Nobody does that. But that's what we're doing. We're taking our cues from the 5-year-olds. Why is that? Because we've lost our way. But God is sending His Son, and Jesus. We don't care about losing His inheritance, but He does. And we don't care about the souls that are going and the people who are confused, but He does. And trust me, I am the Lord. I've changed not. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And people never ask, why doesn't God change? I'm going to end this discussion on why God doesn't change. He doesn't change because He can't change. Because the entirety of everything that God brought into existence rests on the character that He had perfected before He began to build it. So the character that built His system is what's upholding His system. If He changes His character, His systems fall. His kingdoms fall. The lives it has fall. The things that He brought into existence can't stand. So He cannot change because He has locked Himself into what He discovered to be the most workable character, temperament, beliefs, values, morals you can. That's why God doesn't have a moral code. God has no moral code because God is righteous. And so when I discovered this was right, read Genesis. The Lord saw what He did. He said that was good. All right? When I discovered what was right, He built on that prototypical righteousness that goes all the way back to before He created anything. He cannot change. Because to do it is for Him to self-destruct, and that's what saints don't get. He can't change because to do it, He has to self-destruct. He has to surrender His kingdom to what He changes into, and He's not surrendering His kingdom into what He made that He's refused. He's not turning His kingdom over to what He's discarded, and that's the kind of nonsense we do. See, we got word with no wisdom, and so I just wanted to share that. I believe that as we go further into our show today and we begin to pray, I want you to keep in mind, just because somebody says they're a Christian doesn't mean Jesus says they're a Christian. The Bible said the Lord knows those that are His and that those who name the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. He didn't say throw a party for iniquity. He said depart from it. So God is not deceived. And I know it's kind of difficult. And if you start measuring your Christian success on money and power and fame and all of the things that everybody else does, then guess what? Christ profits you nothing. Now, I'm not saying all Christians ought to be broke because I know for a fact that they're not. I know for a fact it's not God's will. But if your money can turn you from your God, then guess what? You were never belonging to Him. Because when God really owns you, you can't leave Him. You just can't. When God really has your heart, you can't leave Him. You just can't. You can't hurt Him. Just like when you fall in love with somebody. You have to fall in love with a person. They do some of the craziest things. And you know what? You can't leave them. You can fall in love with this woman, and they can strut 10 little sleazy girls past you. And you'll say, wow, that's something. Mm-mm, and still say, but they're not like what I got. They're not like what holds my heart. And when God holds your heart, there is no temptation that's going to take you away. Now, there are temptations that will cause you to have to reaffirm. And a lot of us have had to reaffirm our commitment to God and reaffirm our faith, but they never could take us away. And that's where He wants you to go. When He's got your heart, you may say, it may take you a week. You might even wrestle with the thing for a week or two. You may wrestle with it for a year. But trust me, like Jacob, you're not going to leave. I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. So wrestles come with the territory. But understand, if God has your heart, if He ever had your heart, there's not anything that can make you leave. Now, you'll get depressed. You'll have moments you'll need Him to come back in and heal up some things, sew up a few things. You have to need Him to come back, repaint a new vision, paint a new vision. It doesn't matter. But the fundamental thing that brought you together, no matter how much it's tested, it'll keep you together. And that's what God wants us to know about who he is in this hour. So anyway, Prophet Ashley? Did we lose her? Did I lose my producer? Hello?
No, I'm here.
Where'd you go?
I was here getting straightened out.
I said, wait a minute, did I lose my producer? Getting straightened out, huh?
Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the mouth on the matter right there. BlogTalkRadio.com/Paula Price Show. This is why we do it every week.
Oh, shittable. Woo. But, you know, it is time for us to deal with God as he is and as the king he is, and to understand that a lot of stuff that we say, it's all assumption. God never changes. If they didn't get, and listen, all of you who are listening to me, if you did not get anything else out of what I said, God can't change, because if he changes on any issue that is fundamental to himself, he's got to morph into what he changed into, and that means he has to surrender it to whoever persuaded him to change. You recognize that's a big move for heaven. Heaven can't change. That means billions of planets, galaxies, all of that stuff riding on this man, changing not, on his ability to convert us to him and remain unconverted by what we do. That's powerful. Now, I know folks don't believe that because, you know, you're dealing with words on paper. I'm dealing with the God that sits on the throne, whole different kind of situation. But I thought, Ashley, is that not effective for 2014?
That is a good word, and it's a word that's going to explain a lot. I think statement you said about there's something wrong with a saint taking cues from a sinner. That's a Selah moment right there when you're talking about these shows and how some of these ministers are just endorsing all kinds of nonsense that is clearly outlined in the Word of God as to where he stands on that. But you don't think about it like that. Like, you're taking cues from a sinner. Their sin is inspiring you. It's not even just moving you. It's inspiring you to dedicate all these things to it and the church of this and taking time off for that. And, Selah.
Kind of got to do it. Well, you know, and again, it's like, okay, you got your PhD and you're going to learn your ABCs from a fifth grader. You know, a five-year-old.
Right.
Okay. And, I mean, think about it. It's kind of like when you see these little kids smacking their parents around. That's how the church is. So this little tot, this five-year-old is smacking you around, and you okay with that. And so they're bringing you down to their level. So I believe that, you know, and it's the truth. We have to stop taking our cues. You cannot tell me that you went in prayer and God came back and told you to put on Ishtar's clothes. There's no way you're going to convince me of that. I'm not going to believe that. You're not going to tell me that you went to prayer and God told you to come back and do this and half of the stuff that he's doing. You cannot tell me that. You cannot go and tell me that you're praying for the scandal show to say number one. You can't tell me that and God said, don't worry about it, I heard your prayer. Because if you did, I'm going to tell you, you have a false God. And so, but you know, God, Jesus is going to take over. Trust me, the man is going to do what he's got to do. And I feel like people should be persuaded in their own mind. I do believe that, but I also believe that you need to have all the facts and all of the information and wisdom before you start making a decision. You need to know, okay, so I know all of that. Like, I mean, you know, like the guy that wrote on Facebook, I know about what they said and all of that, and I don't believe in that. That man never met God. Never met God. Never. Because if you meet him, you realize what his problems are. And we as saints have got to start tapping into what God's issues are before we start throwing our issues out about why we don't agree with them. Let's find out what the man's issues are. What is God's problem with that? Well, I mean, come on. What is his problem with the half of the things that we're talking about? Because if we're just talking about a preacher, yeah. But if you're making your decision on your approval or disapproval of a preacher, then you don't know your Christ, so I don't know why we're even talking. And I don't even deal with that. But I'm telling you, our God is getting ready to show up, and he's going to show off, and he's going to kick some things in. While we're going on to the show, do we have a prophet of Deer around to let us know what's going on in the Paula Price world, the PPM Global Resources world, the anything else, the social media world.
You know you do, Prophet Adia. What's on the wire?
All right, all right. Hey, guys, and welcome to the Paula Price Show Thursday in the new year. I'm excited about this first new show of the new year. First of all, I'm taking a bunch of notes. I know you guys are, too. If you want to talk about all the conversation today, you can hit us on Twitter. Dr. Price is on Twitter at Dr. Paula Price. She's also on Facebook under Apostle Paula Price and on LinkedIn as well. So there's a lot of different ways that you can plug into the Paula Price Show and everything Dr. Paula Price when you visit us online. We want you to make sure that you go to drpaulaprice.com today. This month we are all about purpose, your passion for purpose. So 25% off of our minister's assessment questionnaire this month, as well as an introductory offer for Dr. Price's profits assessment. So you want to make sure you go to drpaulaprice.com so you can find out everything about the assessments and our passion for purpose this month. We really want to see you at the top. Everything about Paula Price Ministries and PPM Global Resources is all about helping you pursue your purpose, get in your place, and conquer your calling. So we want you to visit us at drpaulaprice.com so you can check out all the ways that you can save on an assessment this month. And don't forget to join our audiences on online. We want to see you on Facebook talking about the show. If you're going to talk about the show on Twitter, we want you to hashtag Paula Price Show so that we can put all the comments together. We want to hear what you think and connect with us. We're all about connecting with you. So PaulaPrice.com or DrPaulaPrice.com, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. We'll see you online.
Whew. She got all of that out too, didn't she?
She did in like 45 seconds.
She's from East Coast. Yeah, you know, East Coast, we talk very fast. But, you know, she read, I got the commentary out. I got my little notes out. I got a little exhortation out. Then I told you some commercial, promoted a few products, took it through social media. Okay, I'm out. She got it all out.
She got it.
Well, Ashley, I'm excited. Do we have any calls? What I'm going to do is I want to take a couple of calls, and then we will have a few announcements and then wrap up with some more calls. But I am good to go. Who will be my first call for January 2nd, or January 2014? Who will my first caller be?
Your first caller, see, I need a drum roll sound effect. Your first caller is Carolyn from Kansas, and she is calling today for some New Year's prayer. Carolyn, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you. Hello, Dr. Price.
Hello, Carolyn from Kansas. How are you doing over there in Dorothy Land?
I'm doing well, Dr. Price, and how are you?
I'm superb, as you can tell. You know, I'm charged.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'm calling today for prayer over my life for the year of 2014 concerning my spirituality, getting closer to God, for finances, for a job, for my wealth, and also my family, which is only my son. So I'm praying for that, for a great start of 2012 in the name of Jesus.
I'm going to pray. I'm going to give you a great prayer, but I want to ask you a question. What are you doing for your spirituality?
Well, I do belong to a church,
right.
And I started working, but I'm not working in the church at this moment. My first lady has asked me to do some things, and she wanted to meet with me this year, but that's it right now.
Okay, because here's the thing I want you to know. First of all, you're an intercessor. You need to be with the prayer team, and you need to make that commitment, and you need to give them at least 12 months.
Okay.
Because a lot of what you need to do is going to show up through you supporting somebody else's prayer. You know, last week I said if you want favor.
Right.
So if you want the answered prayer, guess what you need to do? You need to start praying for other answers.
Right.
Because God never does things in singularity. He always does things in a cluster and in a network. And so as you, this what I hear God saying, I don't know what your prayer group is like. I don't know what, I don't have to know. I do know this much. You need to give your intercessors group 12 months of faithfulness.
That's true. That's true. I was doing that at one time, and they're asking me to come back to it. That's true. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Well, you need to give them 12 months. Now, at the end of 12 months, you and God go and decide whether or not you're going to re-up. But you need to do that because in praying for others, you know, it's unfortunate that saints need so much prayer and they don't pray for others. Because when
right.
you need a lot of prayer, you need to get in the prayer group because you need to
mm-hmm.
be where it is, you know. You need money, you roll with money people. You need
mm-hmm.
a job, you roll with working people. You do not need a job and sit out with the unemployed on the side of the road every day because you pretty much
right.
are not going to get a job, okay? So what you need to jump in the pool of your need. That's how it works in the kingdom, because you attract people who are already doing it, have a chance to recognize you, and on and on and on. So here's what the Holy Ghost is telling you. You need to get two-thirds of what you have a need of is in that obedience to that prayer group.
Amen.
And you cannot, I'm telling you right now, you cannot leave them hanging, because you and God have a discipline issue right now. You cannot leave them hanging. You must do your 12 months of service.
Yes, ma'am. That's true.
I'm telling you, I'm looking at your life right now, and God is saying, I want to talk to her, but she wants me to talk to her on her terms. And I need her to care about the things that are on my heart, too. So you and God are going to cut covenant. And you're going to find, here's how good it's going to be. You're going to start doing it because you're an obedient woman and you love the Lord. So you'll do it because you love the man. He's
yeah.
your God. Okay. So you'll do it. And so what God will do is he'll let you go maybe the first 6 weeks, perhaps top 6 weeks. And then all of a sudden, as you start driving the prayer, he's going to start talking. And he's going to start telling you different things. And you're going to be like, what? Really? God, I didn't know that. And what you don't realize is that the prayer is opening your channel. And you're going to start getting some quality answers. So then as you're going back and forth to prayer, you and God are going to have quality time. So don't just get in your car and automatically turn on your music, because you and God are going to have quality time.
Praise
By the time you get to the eighth month, you and the Lord are going to be so close. You're going to say, God, why did I stop this? I don't even know what I was thinking. Now, you'll have a battle, a little bit of a tussle between the fourth and fifth month. You'll have a little bit of a tussle because, you know, the enemy just wasn't, he doesn't want to have to give up what he's been holding up. So, but you're going to press through because you are well able to do it. You are that kind of a woman. And so you're going to do it. Now, at the end of the 12 months, this is the one lesson God's going to teach you. And it's going to frustrate you to no end in the beginning, but you're going to praise him for the rest of your days. And this is the lesson. Keep your word.
Amen.
This that you're living is all about you keeping your word. You, in order for you to enter the inheritance that you have seen in your dreams, that you've got written in those journals, you know, you've got all that stuff written out. You know, in order for you to enter, you think I don't know that, but I'm looking at you. So, I'm looking
Amen.
At you.
Amen.
You got all that stuff written out, talking about God's goodness I've been to you. No, no, no. You have a couple of vows that you broke. But you've forgotten them because you thought at the time you did it, you had a good reason. And that's not how God thinks. To be great is to break your own situation before you break your word. And so God's going to tell you at the end of these 12 months, be a woman of your word, because I need to count on you upholding my word.
Yes.
And if you don't uphold yours, I can't count on you upholding mine.
Praise God.
And that's the only reason you're going through. It's not even deep. You thought it was deep, didn't you? Wasn't deep. Well, in a way, it is deep. You know, let me not minimize the Holy Ghost. But that's
right.
what it is. You know, but you and God are going to go. In the beginning, you're going to be like, I don't understand. Whatever. And all of those forces, you're going to have a lot of artificial situations between the fourth and fifth month. They're going to seem like, I just can't do it. I don't care, God. I know I try. But I'm telling you, if you ride out to the seventh month, I promise you the turn will come.
Praise God.
But you've got to ride it out, because God is building a giant in you. He's building a keeper of the sheep, a keeper of a keeper of faith. He said, I'm building, and so I'm going to have to press you on this issue, says the Lord. I am going to refreshed you. And he's not going to stop situations on purpose because he wants to know if you can contend with his enemies for his faith. That's all. I mean, that's where you and God are. So you're going to go, and when you sit with your first lady, you're going to tell her, the Lord already told me the one thing I've got to do. Now, anything else is extra, but now you have to do this, and you've got to give them 12 months. I don't care if nobody shows up and you're sitting in that sanctuary all by yourself. You're going to sit in there. You're going to put in the hour that they tell you to put in. You're going to pray, and you're going home. You're going to do it every time, whatever the schedule is, and you're going to pray, and as you do, God's going to start giving you names of people to pray. When you do, put them in your prayer journal and pray it, and don't go tell everybody what God said, because you have to be here. Sometimes intercessors forget that they need to be the Lord's confidant, so you're going to be his confidant, and you're not going to go and run and tell everybody, yeah, the Lord showed me about this, or he said that, or the Lord told me to give you this word. You're an intercessor. Your job is to the seed, and you're going to write it down, and then when it happens, here's what you're going to do. When it shows up, you're going to just tick it off. You're not going to say, God told me. No, you're not going to do that because you are the Lord's confidant. So you're going to tick it off. At the end of the year, you're going to see how much God honored your prayer. And a new ministry will begin. Hallelujah.
Okay, hallelujah.
All right, you ready to pray now? I'm going to tell you up.
I'm ready. That was confirmation.
Ooh, sweet Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we love you, love you, love you, love you, love you. You're a great God, Jesus. You are sugar pie, sugar holy man. And we thank you for being our God. We thank you, Lord, for leaving your throne in glory and coming here in the likeness of sinful flesh to, Lord, to save our souls and to give us the privilege of doing what we just did. Lord, to hear from you firsthand, to know your heart, to know your soul, and to be able to know what it takes to be free. God, I bless Charlie right now. I bless her home. I bless her life. God, I lift up her petitions to you and ask that you would have favor and that you would answer them, God, as she obeys. No carte blanche for her on this ride. As she obeys, you answer so that she will know that she's got power with God and that you are, that she's important to you, but that you have to be important to her. And God, I thank you for the newness of your relationship with this woman. It is going to be so rich and so full, God, that she's going to literally be the envy of her church if she obeys you, because you're going to walk that closely with her. And, God, you know, she's going to walk in that fire and in that glory because she obeyed you. So, God, I thank you for her right now. And everything, all of her needs will be met as she obeys you. And I bless you for doing that. And I bless her church as well. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Price.
Thank you, my beloved. Hey, keep in touch.
Thank you very much. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, who's going to be my second caller?
Woo, now see, that's starting your new year right.
Hey, I love my first call. So I'm going to remember this. So next year, 2015, I'm going to remember my first call and how God just blessed up, because I believe, Ashley, I believe that word blessed a lot of our listeners today to understand that God is saying, you're asking me to do for you what you won't do for another.
Mm.
Woo! Go and get in. I mean, it's bad as people need help. The prayer, honey, listen, prayer night ought to be as large as midweek service, at least, if we can't get it as large as Sunday. Because I'm telling you, all of you who are listening to me, you want God to answer your prayer, go be the answer to somebody else's. Go, and do you want to get out of your doldrums and stop feeling sorry for yourself? Get up there and pray for somebody else. Because you know what? The same time we spend criticizing God, the same time, the same energy we put in talking about how he's ignoring us and neglecting us, we can show our faith in him by saying, you know, God, while you're working on my thing, I'm going to work on somebody else's. So you work on mine, and I'm going to work on someone else's. And I'm telling you, the reason I can say this, Ashley, you are a witness. Why do we have the Paula Price Show today? Why?
Prayer. Weekly prayer every week.
I'm telling you, are we a year old yet? Because, you know, I don't know. Hey, you're going to be the producer. I'm going to need you to keep up with our anniversary.
Yeah, we're past that. We're almost this summer will be 2 years.
Okay, so we're a year and a half ago. I was absolutely devastated, lost everything, everything that you can lose, lost it, laid down with all kinds of backlash, you don't know, the whole thing. And I sat there and I said, God, I got nothing. I mean, you know how people say, sow your way out, baby, I didn't have seed to sow. I said, the only thing I have is I know I've got a potent prayer life and a potent prayer covenant with God. I know that when I pray for folk, it works. And I know it works because it has for 20-something years. So that was my test. You know, sometimes out of your devastation comes your elevation. And so I just sat there and said, tell you what I'm going to do, Ashley. We're just going to call. We're just going to tell people to pray for them. And I'm just going to, but rather than feel sorry for myself, I'm going to pray for somebody else. And we just started praying, praying. And I'm telling you, it was a challenge because there were days that I didn't want to get up and pray, and the enemy did not want me to get up, and I had to do it. But as the Lord began to honor my words and he began to bless other people because of my prayer, my restoration slowly but surely began to come back. And I will tell you that it's wonderful to sow seed. Sow your seed, but sow your faith and sow your prayer. That I couldn't sow seed, but I sowed my faith in their restoration. I sowed my faith in their recovery. I sowed my faith in someone else's healing, someone else's victory, someone else's breakthrough. And then eventually I began to remember, oh, wait, I got wisdom. Okay, so I'll give some counsel. And then I began to go, oh, wait, I'm prophetic. Okay, I'm going to give some of the word of the Lord. And I'm telling you, all I have, you know, such as you have, and sometimes all you have, we want to go and just throw some money at the problem, but sometimes God wants you to present yourself a living sacrifice for his use. And so for those of you this year, commit. Do me a favor. Just say, I'm going to give 90 days to my prayer circle. Do your 90 days. If the Lord extends it, fine. If not, you kept your word. I'm going to give 6 months to my church's prayer team, and I'm not going to miss. I don't care if I have to change, rearrange my work schedule, rearrange my school schedule. I'm going to do it for 90 days or 6 months or a year. But do it, because if you need prayer, sow prayer. You need a breakthrough, sow a breakthrough. See, the miracle, we taught you to just do it with money, and a lot of you all went broke sowing money, and God didn't honor that because that's not what he wanted from you. Some of you all gave your rent money, and then God let you get put out. Why? Because that's not what he wanted from you, because that wasn't the reason you got into the problem. See, God will ask you to sow what the reason you got in. Now, nobody's telling you not to do offerings, but there are other things that the kingdom needs. And the king has need of. So hear me today. This is just a suggestion, strong one, but this is a suggestion. Give prayer to someone else. First of all, you'll get healed. That's number one. You'll get healed because, see, by the same time you licking your wounds and feeling sorry for yourself, you were now taking that energy and you pouring it to someone else's good, because it's not going to do you any good anyway. So you're going to pour it to someone else's good. The same time you're frustrated or angry or whatever about what you're going through, hey, turn that to someone else and just pray. Listen, I got so good at it that I just began to hear what God wanted me to address, and I just wrote it in my journal. And I don't mean a long 5-minute prayer, a long 5-hour prayer vigil. Sometimes we don't pray because the church makes it so hard and tedious. You're like, oh, Lord, I can't be doing that. That's you. That's not you. No, you just say what the people need. Lord, I just thank you for hearing me. I thank you for granting me the privilege to stand in the gap with someone else, to intercede for someone else, to help someone else recover from whatever they're going through. And so, God, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you to do da-da-da-da-da-da for this person. I call it done by faith. I'm done. You can do that in your car, on your way home. You could go through the whole supermarket and finish your prayer list and still not miss your grocery. Because if it's in your heart to use your position with God and your influence with him, then it's in your heart, and it doesn't take a lot to do it. Anyway, Ashley, what's my next one?
My goodness. See how you do? All right. Laura.
I know it. You guys get so frustrated when I do that.
But we understand. We have other people. Okay. Next on the line is Laura from Alabama, and she believes she's dealing with a hindering spirit and is being prophetically gagged and just needs to know what's going on. Laura from Alabama, welcome to the Paula Price Show. You are live with Dr. Price.
Well, thank you. Happy 2014.
Well, thank you, and the same to you, Laura from Alabama. Now, is it nice and warm in Alabama or what?
It's cold, and it looks like it might snow in a minute, but it hasn't fell yet, so it's cold.
Oh, wow. Well, listen, hope you had a great holiday. How can I bless you today?
Well, just bless me. I'm really in this church, and I feel like the Lord has assigned me there. Because a few years ago, I was going to leave it, and he told me he'd build his own church. But I have hindrance spirits when it comes to my prophetic utterance, and because it really is mostly utterance. So I just don't know. Sometimes I just don't know if he's told me to move on and I haven't heard him clearly, or I just
okay,
don't know.
So,
okay,
first of all, I want you to be at peace because you let this thing fuck you up into a little tizzy. So I want you to come on back with me because we're going to walk this journey, you and I.
Thank you.
All right. So you're gonna pull it on down and say, okay, God, speak, Lord, your servant hears.
Okay, speak, Lord, your servant hears.
All right. Now, let's go back.
No.
Help me now because if you help me, I'm going to lose my way. I just lost what I have to say. You know, I have to hold fast to these things when they're coming.
Okay.
Here's what I want you to
thank you, Jesus.
Listen to me. I want to ask you this question. When you say it's a hindering spirit, let me make sure that I am understanding what your concern is. You're saying that they won't let you prophesy. Is that essentially what you're saying?
I'm just going to say that I'm not given permission to. I'll put it that way. You know,
okay.
I'm going to relate this. A couple of months back, I was down. Usually when I have altar call, I go as intercessor to the altar for people who, for some reason, are afraid to come or something. But while I was down there, the Lord was giving me a word to speak. And I'm, Lord, or you know this pastor, and Lord, you know, and so I said, you're going to have to open up a door. And he told me, he says, the door is already open. So when I got up, I kind of, you know, got permission from, you know, my pastor and told him that the Lord, you know, wanted me to speak a word, and could I speak it? And he did give me permission to speak the word. And so later on during the week, we were having a conversation, and I told him, I said, I don't really know what I'm expecting from you. I said, I think I'm just expecting you to say, well, sister, is there a word from the Lord today? And he said, that'll never happen. So I guess that kind of really still in my cloth or whatever. I'm just...
Yeah, but that's a little hurtful. So how long have you, are you a prophet? Are you a prophetic? Are you a prophesier?
In 1998, the Lord told me to go ye therefore into the world prophesying, thus says the Lord. And then I asked him, who was I to him? And he said, Jeremiah. So whenever he gives me, plus everything he gives me, it's in utterance, and he also has given me the interpretations of it, so, you know, I'm going, and then I give the interpretation. But then a lot of the, when I pray for people, you know, even though it comes out in the spiritual language, I can see if it's, you know, Psalms this or Psalms that, whatever Psalms it is, I can see the words, but it comes out in the spiritual tongue. It comes out that way, and then I'm able to.
So what did, when God, come on, work with me here. So when God told you that you were Jeremiah to him, all he told you to do is just run around and prophesy wherever they let you.
No, it was like, and I have to use these examples because this is the only way I can really put it. It's like, you know, if I'm in a mall or in somewhere, you know, he'll speak to me and say, pray for, you know, I'm shopping or three or four people shopping, I'm passing people, and he'll say, pray for them. And I'm like, you know, when I first started, it was like, well, Lord, they don't know me, and I don't know them, da da da, you know. And so I try to just walk on past the people, but he, you know, like I told you, you know. And I have to go back and say, like, excuse me, my name is Dustus, you know, and the Lord wants me to pray for you. Well, and so there have been instances of that when people will say, you know, if it's hard or whatever, you know, sometimes the Lord will say, well, touch it. And I say, well, the Lord wants me to touch this place. May I? You know, I have to, you know, I go through the... being, you know, it's, and then, you know, then they'll say, well, how did you know I did this? And I don't, you know, and I don't have no explanation of, because all I know is what he tells me to do, and I try to do it to the best of my ability how he tells me to do it. So, you know, it's like, I guess sometimes it's like I don't have an understanding of what's actually going on. It's just that it goes, and I do what he tells me to do.
Okay, so and you've been doing this since 1998, and to now, this is 2014, right? We're talking about 16 years. All God told you to do is one, just run around from place to place and pray for people.
No, he set me in this particular this town that I'm in now is my home, actually my hometown. And I was in another town, but it was in my spirit. My husband passed away, so when my husband passed away, it was in my spirit to come back to this town because I never really thought that I would be back in this town.
Okay.
So
Laura, hey, Laura.
Okay.
If you keep doing that, I'm not going to get to where I'm going.
Okay.
So I'm going to need – we don't have enough time to do it, so I'm going to tell
you. I understand.
So listen to me, sweetheart. This is
okay.
How I put that. I want you to hear me.
Okay.
I would never do that to you.
Thank you.
But hear what I'm saying to you. A couple things I want you to say. I'm trying to get you to a place that you can discover what happened. And so if you keep reliving all of your stories, then you won't be able to move forward to know what's happening. So here's what I want to say. The first thing I want to say to you is that I believe God called you. I don't have a question. Now, I have an assessment that I would love for you to take.
I've taken the assessment, and right now I'm waiting for a confirmation for a appointment. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's the first thing. The second thing, when you take that assessment, you need to sign up for a program. Here's what happened. You have been operating for 16 years on your awakening anointing. So God he said, when there's a prophet among you, you know, I speak to him in visions and dreams and all of that. So you've been operating on your awakening anointing, and you've been actually operating your prophetics like an evangelist. You know how we go and witness Jesus?
Right.
You've been operating your prophetics like that. And the office of the prophet, the mantle of the prophet, is not predisposed to that. Now, here's what has to happen, because the prophet has to have credibility. You ever notice nobody really ever asks an evangelist to have credibility? Nobody ever says to the evangelist, prove you're an evangelist. And matter of fact, they tell you everybody's an evangelist. We can all just go and evangelize. But that's not true. The evangelist has a particular anointing that will provoke redemption, provoke repentance. And so, but we don't deal with it like that. But anyway, so what? Now here's, this is not your fault, but let me say it so you can get free.
Okay.
All right? When we started and we reopened the office, the ministry of the prophet, we reopened it under in the evangelical umbrella. And when we did, what we did was we had the prophets running around like evangelists, going over here, going over there, giving the word here, prophesying like you're testifying. And those are different functions. And they have two different purposes in the kingdom and in God's service. So this is something that just happened to you. That's all right. Hey, let's move forward. But now we have to stop the evangelical prophecy that you're doing and move you into the functionality of the office. I don't know why your pastor said what he did, but I tell you what, I would have had to ask him why he said it, because I don't know whether he knows something about you that I don't know and that this phone call is not revealing. But I will tell you this.
No, it's the denomination of the church. They are against women moving forward in this particular denomination of church.
Okay, but let me tell you what God is doing. See, God is still putting you somewhere to pray and to submit.
That's right.
You know, prophets act like evangelists in the sense that just like, you know, underdeveloped evangelists got to go and force Jesus on people, prophets do the same thing. They got to force a word. They don't feel like they're really a prophet. It's not enough for God to say, I'm a prophet, and then to tell me what to do. I've got to let it be known because he's saying things. My first years, I've been in this thing since 1982. That's the first time I ever got a word from God. In my first years, I never did anything with what he said but wrote it. Now, in the beginning, I had the same thing you had, go say. And then eventually, God said to me, you know, just because I'm telling you something doesn't mean I need you to say it all the time. No, he said, no, I'm training you to hear my voice, and I'm training you to know what I'm doing. It could well be that God wants to move prophetically in that church, but he needs an intercessor to make that happen. He
mm-hmm.
needs something to make that pastor open. If God didn't ask you to leave, then he's asking you to be that conduit, starting with prayer. Nothing happens in the kingdom without prayer going first. Prayer is the red carpet of victory. You cannot get around it. You want the red carpet, it rolls out on prayer. And so you're going to have to realize that God, number one, he needs you to have some training. I'm telling you. Because, see, you'll wear yourself out doing this here thing, and you're never going to get the credibility you want. You don't have credibility because you're not attached to anything.
See,
credibility comes from people who verify and who approve and who accredit. So you need credibility. You can't get credibility as a Lone Ranger. It just won't happen.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much we feel about it, how whatever, your pastor is obviously telling you you're not getting it in your house, but
mm-hmm.
yet he gave you the floor to give the word. He
mm-hmm.
just has his own reasons. But the point is that I'm saying to you is that prophets without a community will always be uncredible.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to find your prophetic community, whether it's a network, whether it's a prophetic company outside, you stay in your church, you meet with this group of prophets outside your church once a week, once a month, whatever they do. You go to a prophetic school and you start getting training and education, because you are right now gift-driven. Your gift is driving you all over the place, but that mantle has not yet been awakened, because if the mantle had been awakened, you would have understood what your pastor was talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I just understand the way that this particular denomination of church pastors are, and it's a long time. It's been there a long time. And
but here's the thing: God might be calling you out, beloved. I'm not saying that he isn't, but you're not able to tell me that he is. If he was able to make it clear, I'm being honest with you. If he was able to clearly tell you to go in, and then a year ago clearly tell you he's building his church his
mm-hmm.
way, if he's telling you I'm doing something, be still and know that I'm God.
And I feel like I am being still, but sometimes I just wonder if he's told me to move on. And I just didn't clearly hear him, of course. I know sometimes I get me in the way, and so I'm trying to.
So what you want is to be respected for the call that's on your life. You want an opportunity to exercise your ministry. You want to be recognized for God using you. Those are normal feelings, but they come within the context of certain structures, and you can't get around them. So my prayer for you, and I'm going to pray for you, my prayer for you is, number one, that, I don't know who your advisor is. I'm sure that we were on holiday last week, so that's probably why you didn't hear from us. But my prayer for you is that you enroll in a program, because you are frustrated like most prophets are in your circumstance, and you just need connection. That's all you really need. You need connection. You need somebody to bounce things off of. I don't think that God wants you to leave your church, because if he did, he would have told you. You don't strike me. If he could tell you to go talk to a stranger and you get there, he can tell you to run into the mall and shake folks down. You don't know. I'm sorry. You cannot convince me that he can't let you know.
Hallelujah, Papa.
You can't convince me of that. I'm sorry. I know him too well, and you do too. So if
Hallelujah.
He can tell you something happened on a baby in a carriage, he can tell you, baby, your time is up. And he
mm-hmm.
has to submit, so your time isn't up.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
You have to submit, humble yourself, zip it, and pray.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I've trained people from different denominations. I'm going to tell you my story because it's true. I've trained people from denominations who don't do profit, no way, no how, I don't care. Don't want them coming forward, backwards. They don't want a profit coming with $1 million. They will take the million and put the profit out. But I'm telling you this. When they submitted themselves and they prayed, they began to tap into what God was doing. And as they began to tap into what God was doing, they maintained their prayer. Now, they came to my school for training, so they were ready. They believed God was doing something, so they finished my program. But they weren't allowed to prophesy in their church. And
okay.
In the third year of the program, all of a sudden, the guy has a dream. And he can't get an answer. He remembers he's got this person over here going to this prophet school, because he had to sign off for her to get in my school. So he remembers, calls her, and she gives him the answer. He said, now listen, I don't believe in this. I will never believe in it. As far as I know, he said, but what you did was God. He said, so if I get a question, can I come to you? So for a while, she was his private prophet.
Oh, wow.
He didn't want to go against his. He didn't want to go against his denomination. After a year and a half of her faithfulness, and she never told his business. She never told anybody that she was answering his questions. Anything. Never
wow.
said it. A year later, he begins to say, "You know what? If she, if, when she says things in prayer, he kind of counts it in prayer. When she says things in prayer, when she gets things in prayer, we're gonna let her say them." But that was almost 15 or so years ago. Now the woman is, by the time she graduated, actually, she was established as the only prophet in his life, in his church, that he would allow.
Wow.
And God wanted to keep that working. You know what? It's restraint. It's humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time.
Jeez.
It is sucking it up. It is not getting our feelings hurt, but it's also preparing for the day. And the reason that he accepted her is because my training so grounded her, she didn't frighten him.
Wow.
So I've seen God do this, and he did not tell you to leave. You're not going to convince me, because I'm going to tell you right now, if he got you running up and down the highways and just saying words to people, he can certainly tell you when to leave. So you're going to have to come under and be at peace with the Lord. Be still, says the Holy Ghost. Be still and know that I am God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well,
so
I thank you.
I got to pray, girl. You can't let me leave without the prayer. Come on.
I'm not leaving. I'm holding. I'm just thanking you. Thank you.
For your
words of wisdom, words of encouragement. I just thank you for your words. I just do.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You,
Jesus.
Father, thank you so much.
Bless your holy name,
well,
Lord.
First of all, ask you for her connection. She needs the connections that you have, because prophets are symbiotic. They need that symbiotic arrangement environment to grow and flourish. So that's the first thing I'm asking you to do. And then I'm going to ask you, God, even before that, that second, Lord, give her peace. Let her know that she is chosen. She's a handmaiden of the Lord. She is like, Lord, let her know that she's like Anna to you. She needs to just be in the temple praying for the change. You,
Hallelujah,
God, give her that vision. Give her that vision to pray and know that you are. But if we continue to fight these leaders, they're never going to trust us. So God, I'm asking you to give her peace and rest. Give her the grace of an Anna. Give her the grace to just know when the time comes that that you are going to use her. And then, Lord, give her an opportunity to prepare for that day. If she believes you, call her. Give her the grace and the determination, the resolve to prepare for that day. In the awesome name of Jesus. And then bless her home, bless her family, and Lord, most of all, bless her spirit in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you so. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I receive it. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to let you go on and praise him, and I'm going to go on to the next call. I love you, Lord.
Thank you. God bless. God bless. God bless. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Ooh, signify Jesus. Isn't he?
Yes, he is. It's rich and it's thick today.
Well, you know, I tell you, the beauty of God is that I think he's addressing a lot of issues. I'm sure that some of our callers will be letting us know on the Facebook and the Twitter and all of that. But I want to say to all of you, God wants the whole body of Christ. But we have got to learn to be diplomats. We cannot just be prophesied. We've got to be diplomats. We've got to learn how to go in there tactfully and graciously. Sometimes we have to go in stealth mode and just pray in the background. If it's a call of God, it won't get lost. And if it's not a call of God, it shouldn't be found. And so either way, God's in control. And so I would suggest to all of you all, first of all, be trained. Because they're, you know, the way God uses you in your natural self is what you do with a kid at home. But when your kid goes to kindergarten, the first thing they start doing is try to pull that natural into order. Into what order? The order of the world that they're going to live in, that they're going to exist in. So I would say to each and every one of you out there who are listening to me today, every one of you who are listening, do me a favor. Be trained. The prophetic has grown up too. It does not have to be out of control. It can be a literal professional institution that brings forth the glory of God, the wisdom of God, and brings forth the credibility that God needs to make it a standing order in his house. We need to do that, and we need to all be concerned about that. Hallelujah. Okay, I got time for another call before break. Is that right?
You sure do. Okay, this is Sasina. and she is calling from Kansas. Athena, welcome to the show. She would like prayer for the new year. She's in transition. She wants to know what's next for her life. So, Athena, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hello. God bless you, Dr. Price.
God bless you. When I pronounce your name again, what is it?
Athena.
I didn't get it.
It's Athena.
Oh, Sedina.
Yeah, with
okay.
The T. It's S, yes, uh-huh.
Because I kept thinking, oh, it's a T. Because I kept thinking it's not Christina, but it sounds like it is. You know. Anyway, my beloved, how are you doing?
I am doing good. How are you?
I'm all blessed up. I'm excited in God. I'm in love with Jesus Christ, and I'm moving to the top.
Amen.
Now, Happy New Year to you, huh?
Yes, thank you. Happy New Year to you as well.
Amen. So where do we go today? How can I be a blessing to you?
Amen. I was just wanting prayer just for this upcoming new year. I feel like God has me in a transition in my life, especially just in my walk with him and in ministry and even in my job situation. And so I just wanted prayer for just strength and just direction for this upcoming year.
Well, I will do that for you right away. The other thing I want to say to you is that what is your ministry? Are you talking about a full-time ministry, part-time ministry, or helping your church? What is your ministry?
Yes, I am under the leadership of an apostle, and we have a ministry here in Texas. I have been ordained as a prophet, and so And you know, I also have like a conference call line that I do on Friday nights and things like that. And so I'm doing a lot of learning, a lot of training, and a lot of learning up underneath the ministry.
It sounds great. I just wanted to ask what you were doing because, you know, when people ask me to pray for ministry, I always like to ask, what are we talking about? Because ministry is a huge spectrum. And, you know, I could be praying for you to get, you know, to get into the right church, and you're like, but I'm already in a church. You know, I could be praying for you to be recognized by your leader. Well, I already recognize one of these. So I just needed to know, when we talk about praying for ministry, what, in fact, are you looking for God to do for you ministerially this year?
Amen. I guess the main thing is I really want to, because in my walk, I just want to grow more, I guess, spiritually and closer to him. And just really, because I know I'm still in a training and a grooming process, you know, in regards to my walk and my calling, and just to really understand, you know, the seasons and the times that I'm in with God, and just to understand what he's doing, you know, in my life.
I got it. And so, because I was trying to get clear on it, so really, this is, even though you know you're in training, this for you is more about, okay, God, I want to attain your purpose this year. You know,
yes,
I think that's what I hear you saying. I need purpose this year. And it's not like you haven't pursued it. No one is even implying that. But you want to make sure that you're achieving purpose, even in your job. Now, you're right. I see changes in your job. I almost thought I saw relocation, but I don't know. I think your company is doing some relocations somewhere. But I do see changes in your job. I don't know if I see you going, but I see your company moving somewhere, whether it's and it could be just extending itself. But I do see that you're right. Transition is around you. But there are some transitions in your region, and I think you being a prophet, you prophetically are picking it up, that there are changes in the wind, in even in your region, in your state. And so sometimes when we're when you are prophetic, you pick it up, and the first thing we started doing is checking our life. Okay, God, what are you doing with us? But I think that for God, he wants you to get a sense of he's getting ready to expand your horizons, how you see things, how big he's showing you, how big the picture gets, he's showing you. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
Do you really? Because it's important that you really get what I'm saying.
Amen. Yes, I do understand what you're saying.
Okay, because I just see that God is wanting to expand your lens. Your prophetic lens has been very narrow, but I see him wanting to give you a wider lens in terms of what you see. And it looks to me that you're a seeing prophet, that you genuinely see a lot more than you hear, but you have to develop your interpretive abilities. And I just see him giving you a wider lens. I think that if I were going to classify you as you are right now as a prophet, I would align you with an Edo, because you definitely are that kind of a messenger. And I think that coming up in the year to come, I'm going to say the first 6 months for sure, but definitely by the time you get to the eighth month, you're going to see a sharpening of your vision. Your eyes are going to be sharpened, and so you're going to see a sharpening of your vision, your ability to see. Your seer's anointing is going to become more crystallized. Even when you dream, right now they're a little murky, almost like a person who needs glasses. But God is saying to me that as you continue to stay in prayer and continue to develop yourself, you're going to find that you're going to get a clearer picture, because he's fine-tuning your eyesight, your prophetic eyesight. And I see this beautiful lens that he's giving you, and it's going to enable you to see the whole, a fuller picture. It's going to take about anywhere between 3 years within now and 3 years for you to get the ability to see the whole picture. And that is, you know, instead of just glancing at it panoramically, but just going in there and being able to see it, all of it at once, and then see it all in pieces. And so he's saying that, and then God says the change that you feel in your spirit is 18 months off. And so at the end of, you're going to start seeing it, it's going to start making sense to you when you get to the 12th month, but then 18 months from this time, you're going to recognize that God is getting ready to twist you and, I mean, literally turn your world around. And I see him just taking you and just twisting you around and turning you into a whole other direction. And you need to be prepared for that. Now, how it affects you professionally or not, he's holding that secret from me. But I will say to you this much, it will affect everywhere, the entire landscape of where you live.
Wow, praise God. Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for Tristina. We ask that you bless her life. God, first of all, we ask that you visit her home. She needs a visitation of you in her home, not only in her domicile, but in her spirit and in her soul. God, I thank you for visiting her in that area. I thank you, God, for turning the light on, because, Lord, I just see you bathing her world with a fresh light, with a new light, and a fresh life. And so I thank you for that, God. I thank you for causing what's been weighing on her shoulders for so long to lift off. You know, she's got this old heavy garment on, but God, I thank you for lifting it off of her in the awesome name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And then, God, I'm asking that you continue to cause her to grow, even to climb that ladder up to where you are. I'm thanking you, God, that she's got her eyes on you. She's looking up, but God, give her this to climb and the endurance to make it to the top. And I bless you for doing it. I'm asking for peace and clarity in her job, peace and clarity with her neighbors in her neighborhood. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too. God bless. Stay in touch.
I will.
Amen. Bye-bye. Ashley, I think I could fit one more in.
All right. Hey, you can fit it. I can find it.
Good.
Okay, let me see. My system here is just creeping along. All right, needs to catch up with me. Okay, we have next on the line, Dr. Price, Desiree from California. And she is calling in today because, of course, it is the new year. And she would like clarity on direction. So, Desiree, welcome to the Paula
Hello.
Price Show. We're live with Dr. Price.
Thank you, Prophet Ashley. How are you? Hi, Dr. Price.
Hi, Desiree. Have we spoken before?
No.
Okay, so welcome to the show, and happy
Thank you.
Year.
Same to you.
How can I bless you today, my beloved?
Well, I have taken your assessment. I did that a couple of months ago, and so I've been kind of just trying to understand what God is doing in my life. He's been working on me for a few years now and opening my eyes to a lot of things that are unknown to me, but I think with your assessment, that kind of helps me to understand things a little bit more, so I'm working on trying to get on your program there, And right now I just wanted to get a little bit of clarity of where I'm supposed to be and where I'm headed to just make sure that I'm making the right decisions.
Well, the first thing the Holy Spirit said to me about you, Desiree, is about your career. That this is a whole, right now, you're in a time where God's sorting out some serious career issues for you. What is it that you do for a living, and why am I seeing traveling?
Oh, really? Oh, my gosh. I have no idea where you're seeing traveling. Where did you say, where am I living?
Working.
Oh, where am I working? I'm actually working as an office manager for a plumbing company right now.
Okay. Now, but are you traveling, or because I'm seeing traveling. I don't have to, I mean, it doesn't have to be now, and I could be seeing what God is doing. But I do know that God is doing some career changes with you and some career shifting. There is a restlessness around you in your environment occupationally. But I know you're going to do ministry. I understand that. That's not a problem. Mm-hmm. But I do know that God wants you to realize that ministry for you for the next several seasons of your life is not ministry or career. It's not an either-or proposition for you, you know, because God wants to use your skills in a broader way. And I see you getting an opportunity in marketplace ministries for God where you're going to be able to use what you're learning and what he's developing you into in the marketplace. You know, you're thinking church, and God doesn't have that on you right now in this season. It could well be because he has to develop you more for it, but that is not your season. So you're going to be working a little bit, and you need to, because you've got some situations that have to have you gainfully employed.
Wow.
Having said that, the Lord said, be open to a career change. That I keep hearing it. Be open to a new career change. So for you, you have to be prepared for what God is getting ready to do. Whatever it is, you have peaked where you are, and there is nothing else for you to do. God wants to give you more challenging things in anticipation of your ministry call.
Yeah, man. Okay. Well, I did just recently finish a BA degree in administration in November. Can you
okay,
hear me?
So, okay, yeah, you walked away from the phone. What happened?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I hear you now.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I had received a BA degree in business administration in November, and most of my work that I've done, at least for like the last 10 years, I was actually working in a church office, and I had multiple hats. And, yes, I've been very active in actually church ministry for, like, 13 years. And then I stepped away from that the last 3 years, and I've been just working at an office right now. And so I
Now, what did you get your BA in?
Business administration.
Okay. All right. Okay. I thought that's what you said, but I wasn't sure if I heard you correctly. So then God wants to use that degree in a more challenging capacity.
Okay.
I just hear the Holy Ghost saying, he just gives me these two words, be open.
Okay. All right.
He needed to tell you that, didn't he? Cause you
yeah, I'm laughing because I'm just, you know, that's been one of my struggles because I'm like, okay, where do I need to go with this? And that was like in 2014, I kept thinking, okay, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? In my heart, I want to be in ministry, but I just don't know to what capacity.
Well, it doesn't have to be an either or. That makes what God told me very clear. It doesn't have to be either or. And you have it as, you know, now you may work for a large ministry in a capacity that's professional, but you're still going to be a career. God has a career change for you. I keep getting that word. And so he wants you to be open to something new. And one of the reasons that we like to stay in ministry, and I'm going to tell you, I kind of suspect, Desiree, if I'm hearing the Holy Ghost correctly, I realize that you like to play it safe. And you like to control your environment. And because you like to control your environment and play it safe, because when you work for a church, you can control a lot of that, especially if you're a senior administrator or anything like that. But God is going to take you out of your comfort zone.
Oh, Lord.
Hey,
okay.
I know. done, Milton. You know, and that's the word. And wait a minute. You're like, but I don't want to get that word on January. Could I get it, like, you know, April, March? Yes, he's taking you out of your comfort zone because he keeps saying, be open to your new career. And it's not going to be a comfortable model. You went to school to get a degree. You didn't just get it just to sit around and say, okay, thank you for calling XYZ Ministry. How can I help you? No, no, no. God's going to use your brain, and he's going to use your experience, and he's going to use your education, and you need to put these at his disposal, Holy Ghost.
Okay.
And you and you're well able. You're able. I'm going to say it. You're able.
Thank you.
And I know you don't like, you know, you like Peter. I stepped out on this water, but do I really want to stay out there? Can I just get back in the boat? You know, it's going to change for you, beloved. So, Father, thank you so much for Desiree. Lord, thank you for bringing her to a point that she is ready to step out on the waters and to do big things for you. God, I thank you for anointing her to do big things for you, things that are not within the normal controlled environment that she's accustomed to. But Lord, you're going to move her out into the big things that she can start swimming with the big fish in a bigger pond. And I thank you for taking away the nervousness, the anxiety, and the dread that she feels right now. And in this place, letting her know you are her dad. You got her by the hand. She's going to walk with you, and you're going to walk with her, and you're going to lead her through this great big world called business enterprise, and she's going to do well. I thank you for doing it, Father, for her. I thank you for setting it in motion today and bringing it all to pass in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. More than you can imagine.
God bless you.
All right. God bless you, too. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. I can get one more in, Ashley. One more.
Yes, you can. Okay. And we have today Lakeisha from North Carolina. She is on the line, and she said she heard what you were saying today earlier. But to be honest, she is dealing with spiritual apathy. And so she would like prayer and interest concerning how to get over that in prayer for the new year. Lakeisha, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you.
Hello, Lakeisha. So tell me, beloved, how did you end up apathetic?
Well, I don't know what it is. There was a lot of things that happened in our church, in my church, and it caused like a ripple effect in my family, and along with a lot of other things that were happening, like with my son. My son's 19. I've been dealing with a lot of stuff off and on with him. But really the main thing was what happened in my church with my pastor. And it just kind of got me to this state where I'm not sure if I would say apathetic, because I do care. I love God, and I love my ministry. But it's just kind of got a question mark over my head, you know, if that makes any sense.
Okay,
and,
so what's the question mark, though?
What's the question mark?
Yes, I mean, what is question,
The question mark is not so much why did this stuff happen between my leader and I, but I mean, first I examine my own heart first and make sure that I always want to know that what I'm doing is pleasing to God and pleasing to my leader. And I'm just getting a lot of bad reports from her, you know, about me, you know, and I just don't understand it. I know that, you know, leaders are human and everything, and, you know, I don't hold anything against her, but I'm wondering, you know, she's just coming down on me real hard all the time, and It has really shaken me and put me in a place where, I mean, I've gotten to the point to where I don't even enjoy going to church anymore, because I know it's just going to be about, you know, I'm just not getting joy, and that's not who I am. That's not where I want to be at. And some things had happened in the ministry where she ordained me, and she said that God called me to pastor and everything, and she sent me to this church, but I didn't really get that. There was no counseling. There was no sessions or anything. She just kind of sent me out there, and I really didn't get clear instructions or anything. And then the next thing I know, she kind of just pulled the plug on it, and she told me that I let her down. And
wow.
There was some, and then when I came back, and then she called me, and she called me and she said basically she didn't know how to reach people that came from a certain area or a certain church. And basically she just kind of said whatever she felt for like an hour. And then she was like, she just said, well, if you talk to your husband about it, if y'all want to stay, stay. If you don't, don't. And that kind of left me feeling like she don't really want me here. But, and then when I, she said, talk to your husband and get back with me. And so when I tried to get back with her, she would not talk. She wouldn't talk to me about it. She just said, everything is okay. Don't worry about it. And, you know, like I said, she's my leader and I love her. You know, I pray for her. I respect her. But at the same time, it's a lot of stuff going on and it kind of left me in this fog where mm-hmm. a lot of stuff is not cleared up. And, you know, I'm just asking God, you know, like I said, I want to be right with him first, and then I want to make sure that what I'm doing in my ministry is right or in the church is right. And that's kind of where I'm at.
Okay, well, the first thing I want to pray about is your healing, because I'm going to tell you something. And for those of you who are leaders out there, there is no deeper cut than to just slash your sheep and not tell them what to do. So I want to pray for your healing. The second thing I want to say to you, because I will cover that, but the second thing I want to say to you is that, you know, leaders come under attack. My instinct, I'm not going to say much else. Somebody got on the phone and told her something that stunned her or whatever. Maybe it was an evil report. Maybe it was an errant report. It could have been correct. And so, because a lot of times, especially when you are having those works out there and you don't really know how to build your people to do what you call them to do, you're very susceptible to hearsay, and you're very susceptible to whosoever is reporting. So it could well be, I'm not saying that's it, but it could well be that she just heard something from someone else and maybe did not know how to confront you about it or ask you about it or investigate it. It could well be that you were a victim of something like that, some sort of hearsay, you know, tale-bearing something. And so my question to you is, you say she won't respond to you, so do you think that the likelihood of you getting a sit-down face-to-face with her to work it out is anywhere possible?
It could be, but she's going through some personal things right now, too. And when I've asked her for a meeting for us to sit down and talk, because she has so much going on in her home with the church and everything, it's difficult, but I can definitely try. And if I may say this, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, finish your thought.
Okay, well, if I may say this as well, when I first came into her ministry, I was just blown away by everything. And she had called a meeting with me, and I was new to her ministry. And she said that, you know, she said the Lord has spoken to her about me, and she said that if I saw anything in her ministry that needed to be changed or if God, you know, she said, I want you to come to me. And she pulled me in as one of her personal assistants. And then she said, you know, you and I are going to walk close in the spirit together and all this. And I was thinking, I was like, wow, who am I that, you know, you would, that, you know, that you, that God would speak to her in that manner about me. So I was humbled by it. But I really, you know, I didn't really take much thought into it. So I'm just waiting. I'm going along in the ministry, and I'm waiting for this closeness to come in the spirit because I want to be and do what God has called me to do, you know. So I'm waiting for this, and it's like 4 or 5 years later, and I'm just getting, you know, what I say, quote, unquote, beat, for lack of better terms. I mean, it's always something.
Okay, well, let me pray with you. I'm going to pray with you for two things. Number one, I'm going to pray for your leader, and then I'm going to pray for you because we all go through warfare, all right? And then from there, the other thing I would say to you is that, you know, we don't have a lot of time, but if you want to call back and arrange, you know, we do have some counselors here to arrange for private counseling and guidance where you can be a little more forthcoming about how the situation developed, we might be able to explore it a little further. I hope that it's in the will of the Lord that you do that because your wounding is bothersome to me right now, and I know how that goes, and that can turn into a whole lot of other sour things. So I want to pray for that, and then I want you to do me a favor, and I want you to pray for your leader for 10 days without trying to reach out to her. Just
yes,
10
ma'am.
Days.
Okay. May I ask you to do one more thing for me?
Sure.
Would you please cover my my children in prayer? I have a 19-year-old son and a 16-year-old daughter, and if you would just cover them in prayer, please, I would appreciate it.
We will do that. But first, let's pray for this leader, because let me tell you something. We meet our leaders on the wall. We don't need to lose them. Father,
yes,
in
ma'am.
Jesus' name, I thank you for this woman of God, and Lord, for the day that you called her, the day that you saved her, the day that you put her into your service. I thank you for those days. I'm asking God that you reach forth your hand and calm the troubled waters around her life. I'm asking that you command the seas to cease and be still. I command peace on the seas of her life. God, I'm asking that you would visit her house, that you would visit her church, that you'd visit her business and her family matters, God. And I'm asking that you would take in tow. I stand today, God, as the stronger man over her situations, and I command every unclean work of darkness to cease and desist every maneuver. I break the yoke of bondage on that church and on her mind. Now, God, I'm asking that you would connect her with quality mentor, a seasoned veteran of the kingdom who can help her sort through these matters, find her way, and even help her confront the deficiencies or shortfalls she may have in working with her people and give her sage counsel and wisdom. But most of all, God, I'm asking that you would settle her heart and restore her to your stable service in Jesus' name. Now, and I thank you for my beloved sister on the line right now. I'm asking, God, that you would give Lakeisha peace. I'm asking that you would give peace to her home, peace to her family, and peace to her kids. I'm asking, God, that when she calms down, that you replay every situation on your reel, not her emotions, but on your vision, to show her and give her clues as to how they got where they are. I'm asking that she prays for her leader for 10 days, that you use that as an opportunity to nurture this young person, to nurture her back to life. Lord, I'm asking that you would build this woman up with all might in her inner man, strengthen her and cause her to see things from your vantage point, not even her own. Let her be able to put her emotions aside, her pain aside, and just say, God, show me, show me where I am, and show me how to go forward. I ask that you would bless her husband, that you would bless their home life, and, Lord, cover her kids with the blood of the Lamb, bring them into peace and harmony. God, let this what Satan meant for evil here, God, use it on the work table of goodness and blessings, and bring this thing back together for your glory. I break this right now, this estrangement and this sword of division. I remove it by the Spirit of the living God, and I cause them to understand each other. Lord, make this happen and do it for your name's sake and do it for the glory of your Son, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you, God. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You are more than welcome. Keep me posted.
I sure will. You guys have a great year.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Prophet.
Apostle.
Ha-ha. So you just got to make me say it, huh?
Yes. That's good counsel. I had one of your apostles texting me talking about that's good counsel right there. That's good wisdom.
On what?
Just what you gave. I appreciate how you bring a balanced perspective that, you know, very few people are sitting down plotting evil schemes, and very few people are out to get their leaders. And so showing that there's this constant battle going on to break down ministries, to see to it that leaders don't stay in their place, and to see to it that the future ones don't get in their place, and always bringing that backplate to the forefront, and then using the weapons that we do have, which is prayer, to pull this thing down and to bridge that gap and to build that repair.
I'll tell you the truth. I really do feel it. I feel that pastor was trying to start. You know how it is. You're trying to start a new work, trying to get it off the ground, trying to find out who you can trust, and all of those kinds of things, and then you're getting all of these phone calls from people. And see, we as Christians, you know, we have that in prayer this morning. We think that every piece of everybody who can reach us has our best interest at heart, and there are no selfish motives. You know, for those of you, and I'm going to wrap it up on this subject, we'll revisit this again, but a lot of times all of those easy access to your ears, they're not good news. You need to filter who's able to call and filter who's able to bring an accusation against your staff. You need to filter that and make sure that this person is trustworthy and that they don't have any ulterior motives, because it could well be that they wanted to get her out of the place to put them to get it, leave a dark place open for themselves. We act like there's no posturing in the churches, but there is. So my heart is that leader is trying to do a good job. She got hit for stepping out. She doesn't have enough intercessors. She needs a lot more. That's my heart for that situation. And we're just going to hold these things up before the Lord. Ashley, we had a great first Paula Price show of 2014. It was a marvelous time. I had a marvelous time. We only have a little more time left, so I'll let you close on some announcements. And we will get back together again, my beloved family, next week for the second of 2014. Until then, every one of you be blessed. Listen, talk to me on Facebook. I love hearing from you. Tweet me. I love it. Check me out on LinkedIn. It's important. And by all means, go to ppmglobalresources.com and see what we've got going on. I love you all. God bless. Hi, this is Dr. Paula Price thanking you for joining me on this week's show. I want to remind you that the counsel and wisdom, the prayer and prophecy that you enjoy today does not have to end with today's program. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show and join tens of thousands of people who re-listen to my program every week. Again, blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show, and you can relive the experience every single day. God bless you.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time seed or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.